He can hand it, throw it, has a natural throwing motion. That Wildcat took off from that day, and I appreciated that idea. Dennis, Danny and I had some free time last couple years, so we got to go to Bartlesville, Oklahoma, to watch the Wichita Tigers. I'd give anything if my dad was there. We got there Thursday, took a fifth-seeded team that wasn't supposed to win, and one Thursday, we just packed for one day because we thought we'd be coming back. Stayed Friday, we won. Stayed Saturday, we won. Sunday's the finals. It's the championship. And in walks Dr. Rex Horn. Now, when Dr. Rex Horn walks in Sunday in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, we're getting ready to win. And won a heck of a game, heck of a tournament. But it is a privilege to be here. It all started back Arkansas School for the Deaf. Those were my playgrounds. That's where I really learned about family. I see Jamal Anderson's mom right here, and there's nothing like it because, see, the thing about the deaf school, there's one deaf school in each state. There's one college in the entire United States. So if you could sign, you were in the family. They leave home at age 4. It doesn't matter if you're Native American, African American, white, black. It doesn't make any difference because if you could sign, you were in the family. And it taught me about family. It taught me about what real playgrounds were all about. That's where it all started. My dad was the basketball, football, track coach, and bus driver. And I was the guy that handed out the bologna sandwiches. And there was nothing like it. Whether you go to Bauxite, Fordyce, Kingsland, Hazen, I had one job. I knew on the way home that there was a little cardboard box. And I knew that there was going to be 12 thick bologna sandwiches. And there's always one left for me. That was my reward. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like being a coach's son. And I had the privilege to be around great coaches. The lineage of coaches that I had started in Little Rock, Arkansas. Bill Hogue, Charles Ripley, Bobby Keller was my basketball coach, Pulaski Heights. Woody Jolly was my football coach. Donnie Cox, that's Bernie's brother. Then I went to Little Rock Central that I have so much pride for, and I see Ralph Bradbury right here. He's one of the first high school quarterbacks I got to admire and watched, and I followed him, and I tried to be just like him, especially on Turkey Day. We played Little Rock Hall. Clyde Horton, Bernie Cox, Joe Fred Young. These were men, I mean mentors, that were awesome. Charles Ripley would take a van sometimes on a weekend, and my dad wouldn't let me get in too many vehicles. But if I told him, I said, Dad, Coach Ripley's coming by, and he's got a van full, and there's room for me. Go. That's the only time he'd really let me go, because he knew that I was going to a gym. He knew that I was going to be around future teammates and great coaches. It was the greatest days of my life, and sometimes I feel sorry for players. I was talking to Heron Hickenbotham last night, and I appreciate the words that he said about my dad. He couldn't wait to go to the deaf school because my dad was going to coach him, and he knew that he was going to get better. And I don't know if y'all know this, but Heron Hickenbotham was that height at age 10. This guy was a giant, and his dad would have to, on our tournaments, he'd have to go out and get his birth certificate because they didn't believe that he was over 6 foot and 10 years of age. But it's the truth. I witnessed it. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. And got to play with some great ones growing up. Fred Allen, Almer Lee's here today. I got to play in the summertime with a guy like that had handles. He'd always ask me, you got a driver's license? A driver's license. I was 14 years of age. You know I don't have a driver's license. A driver's license to handle the ball, boy. So I learned a lot of things, you know. He used a lot of different adjectives and things. And then I never will forget the very first year University of Arkansas when he wanted to know where his parking pass was located. Coach Broyles called me in Monday, so I didn't think it'd be too bad because, you know, we won. So I go up to his office and say, "Hey, Coach, who is the well-dressed black man that is on the sideline with the hat?" I said, "Coach, it's Almer Lee, the first African-American to ever play basketball at Arkansas." And I kind of grew up with him, and I didn't have enough tickets, so I put him on the sideline. "Well, keep him out of the box. He's not a coach." "Yes, sir." So, try to get that across to him. But I want to share with you, without boring you, I want to share with you this road that has been so awesome. And my dad was a disciplinarian. I mean, he was tough, guys. It'd be hard. I'd tell my children all the time, it's a good thing that he didn't have daughters. He was so tough, so strict. Let me give you an idea. We go from here to Fordyce on a two-lane highway, 72 miles an hour without a seatbelt, driving along, and, you know, the four boards in the back. And sometimes we would get into it, have a little scuffle. He'd be driving along, 70-something miles an hour, almost to Fordyce. We're getting a little antsy. Boom! 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 And real accurate. And always ask the most important question. "You want some more?" "No. I don't want any more of that." He didn't know about time out. He knew about belt out now. And Mom was always the one that kept everything together. She knew when it was Sunday. We'd get in late sometimes from Hope or Tuckerman in the ball game. Little nut peewees following my uncles around. And it didn't matter. My dad would say, "Let's let them boys sleep in the morning now, Imogene." I said, "Good, we're going to sleep in the morning." And those clothes, she wouldn't say anything. Those clothes would be laid out. "We're going to Emmanuel Baptist Church Sunday morning. We're going to go here at W.O. Vault, and it's going to happen." And she put her foot down. But I want to tell you guys, I had the privilege to be the coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. Appreciate a guy like Bo Busby, who was in Wilson Sharp, R.C. Tillman, and Lee Otis Harris, Dan Hampton, who you just had here. We lived in Wilson Sharp under one roof. I mean, that is camaraderie. There's nothing like it. Ate together, slept together. Even went to the back of Wilson Sharp and just watched the girls just walk by. I mean, it's camaraderie. It's togetherness. That's what we did. And I don't know if y'all know this, but I drove a Cliff Peck Camaro, said 1974 Chevrolet. And I had Lee Otis Harris one weekend, we had an off weekend, in the front seat. And I had Dan Hampton in the back seat. That's a load. And coming down Old 71, I don't know if you remember this, Lee Otis, coming down Old 71, every time we'd hit a little bump, a hill, it would scrape. And I think, boy, my dad is going to kill me because he didn't miss a beat. But these teammates were something special, and they were awesome, and they showed me the way. But I remember growing up, and what felt so good about being in Wilson Sharp, I remember my uncles coming from Pine Bluff, from Fordyce. It was Uncle Fay, it was Clyde, it was Saturday, and we were going to the Razorback game, and I'd hear Bud Campbell on TV, and across the bottom of the screen, "Whoop." So we knew that it was game day. And going to Little Rock, War Memorial Stadium, I got to go to Minuteman first. We go to Minuteman or Black Angus first, right? Right, brothers? There wasn't nothing like that. Now, we couldn't put cheese on our hamburger. Dad said, no cheese. Dickie ordered cheese on the burger one time and got one of these again. Get cheese at home, boy. We got... I don't know if y'all understand that joke, but they understand what I'm talking about. But we sat in the end zone, and my hero, you know, I could hear him at Minuteman in 61. I wasn't quite older, about 4 or 5. They talk about Lance Allworth. And then when I got up about 7 or 8, I knew, you know, about Harry Jones. I knew about John Brittenham, Freddie Marshall, Bobby Crockett. These were my heroes. I could see them coming down that ramp. Now, most of my buddies were out playing a pickup game, and one day I made a bad decision. I went and joined my buddies for a little pickup game outside of Wilmore Stadium, pretty close to the golf course, and it was one of these. Of course, you have to know deaf language, so you might need to interpret. I just playing a pick. What it? Get in the game, and watch. Watch warm ups. Watch the quarterback. Watch, and learn. He had this disciplined touch. Coach guys like Benny Fuller, who scored 102 points in one game, and I was there. I watched. I witnessed it. My dad had this knack of giving time, being able to give time, valuable time that he gave us. And he was an unbelievable teacher. Over 62 years at the Arkansas School for Deaf, my mom and dad combined to teach. I could never understand why my mom, sometimes I'd have to go to her classroom and wait before I could go to the gym because my dad had two classes going. So I'd go in there and sit in. 45 minutes for an 8-9-year-old is a long time. And she would be going over, the dog jumped over the fence, an English teacher. The dog jumped over. She was going over nouns and verbs. And I'm thinking, one afternoon I said, Mom, how much longer? Another 40 minutes, just be patient. Finally, I made the mistake, says, he's not going to get it. What do you mean? He's not getting it. The dog jumped over the fence. Mommy, he's not going to get it. How many more times are you going to go over that sentence? I may go over 1,000. We may be here all afternoon. He's going to get it. And that's it. It's about teaching. It's about that time. It's about giving. So I want to fast forward to that call in 98 that you were talking about. When I got that call, David, and I was talking to you, and there's 14 candidates, and I didn't know if I was going to get it because my resume wasn't as thick. But I knew nobody wanted this job more than I did. I knew it. And Quinn Grovey and Scott Bull and Jim Lindsay were on that board, and I was trying to talk to them and talk to you. Do I have a chance? I'll come for free. The first year. And then I get that call on 9:43 p.m. that mountain night in Boise, Idaho. I'll never forget it. Houston, I have good news for you. I want you to come be the coach of the University of Arkansas Razorbacks. Houston, do you hear me? I couldn't talk. And all of a sudden, all the names of all the mentors, all those lineage of coaches and mentors, Ken Turner was the best. Ken Turner was at my high school every single day. Harold Horton. They were relentless. They were unbelievable. Coach Broyles was 6'2". Coach Turner set up a home visit. Mom had a dinner prepared. And I know he was full. And my mom said, would you like another piece of apple pie, Coach Broyles? I would love one. And if you don't mind, give me the recipe so I can take it back to Barbara. Just won them over. And Coach Bryant was awesome. He was there the week before, as you mentioned. And Coach Bryant, of course, is this unbelievable man from Fort Ice, Arkansas. And you heard these stories of the poor and how he made it on a wagon and how they sold tomato sandwiches or mayonnaise sandwiches and hauled wood. And he called the day of the visit and said, we're going to be a couple of hours late. He said, so what do? We go out in the backyard on this 8-foot goal, and it's 2-on-2 because I got 3 brothers. And we're going to ball. The ball jumped over bounced over the fence, and there he was, houndstooth hat and the whole bit. Coach Bryant, my mom and dad are in the living room. We're waiting on you for the home visit. Come on in. Finish the game. But Coach, we're just playing a best of 3. So I know you don't want to watch my brothers now on this 8-foot goal. So we'll go in. Finish the game. Yes, sir. Goes in and tells my mom and dad, I'm going to have 4 scholarships for them nut boys. Won them over pretty quick. But Coach Burroughs and Coach Turner were relentless. And they were awesome. And I was from Little Rock, Arkansas. Wanted to be a Razorback. Had the privilege to to work for Larry Lacewell. He gave me my first job. I tell you what, I learned a lot in 5 months from Larry Lacewell. Knows a lot of football, a lot of defense. Then Coach Jones got the Oklahoma State job, and he hired me. And I was in a room with Bill Shimmick. Bill Shimmick signed guys like Billy Sims at Oklahoma. He coached guys like Barry Sanders and Thurman Thomas. Got to be in that room, Coach Hartley Dykes. And just on and on and on, I got to come back to Arkansas to work for Jack Crow, Joe Kynes. So all this thing, all this knowledge is gathering up. The one thing about an 18-year-old, though, you can't fool them. You can't be counterfeit. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. If I went in a living room, and there's a stretch of time right there from about 90 to 96, we did a study. If I signed 25 student-athletes, 16 were going to come from a one-parent home, and they didn't have what I had growing up. So we were the dad. Besides their high school coach, we were the next one. And I never will forget walking in that very first team meeting in 1998. I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait to get there. I couldn't wait to sit in there and talk to them. I had that Coach Broyles and Bear Bryant. I had this speech so ready to go. I was ready to just pour my heart to them. And they walked in. They looked good. Chad Abernathy, Russ Brown, Grant Garrett, Anthony Lucas, Clint Sterner, Chris Chukwuma, Madre Hill, C.J. McClain, Ryan Hale, David Barrett, Kanoi Kennedy, Ontario Moss, Zach Painter, Quentin Caver, Jamal Harris, every last one of them. I said, Dean Weber, what's wrong with them? What do you mean? Well, they look good. They seem lifeless. Houston, they hadn't won. They don't believe they're going to win. That's a good-looking group. I never will forget, we're walking up the hill, and Anthony Lucas, is the week before the first game, Anthony Lucas said, what we got going, Coach? Got one more thing to do before this kickoff. What is it? Let's just wait. We get in a room like this, and we put that stand up, and we put that shiny Razorback helmet. We didn't have the hog on that red helmet yet. We had it off. We were just practicing. We were grinding. The times that we used to grind when I was with Bo Busby and Gerald Skinner and R.C. Tillman, Leotis Hare, all those guys, we were grinding. We were doing that same tough two-a-days. And then we went in there and put our hand on that helmet, on that Arkansas Razorback helmet. And I cannot tell you what happened that night in words. We're bonded for life. Clint Sterner was so smart, all you had to do is give him a game plan. You overpopulate him at the line of scrimmage, he would check off, and he would check off to Anthony Lucas, and I'd say, yes, do it again, Clint. Do it again, Clint. Those 10 years at Arkansas are some of the best days of my life. But it started with that very first year, that bond of the 1998. Nobody thought we could. That's why I wouldn't get too down on your Hawks. I know you're not feeling good today. I wouldn't get too down on them. This is the kind of week you like. This is the kind of week you love because nobody gives you a chance. You don't know how that ball is going to bounce. I tell Dennis and Dickie all the time, this ball doesn't bounce straight up and down. It bounces different. It's crooked. You never know. Keep going. Well, that third, fourth game, we got through with our conference. We're getting ready to play Alabama 98. Sean Alexander, it's a good group now. They're coming to Fayetteville. I went to bed that night before the Thursday. Dinah said, what's wrong with you? It's the first conference game. Just don't want to get embarrassed. I want to please. No one thinks we can do it. We hit that field, and don't forget about Brandon Burlesworth in that locker room asking everybody, how bad do you want it? He pulled me to the side. On a Friday, one day, getting on the bus is, don't ever use that word rebuild. We'll do whatever it takes. Go, we're tough. And they were tough. They were tough. We made Alabama quit that day, y'all. Made them quit in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And we took off. It's amazing what happens when nobody cares who gets the credit. When so many of our guys were so unselfish, they would go cover a kick, they'd go cover a punt, they'd do whatever it takes. I'm going to tell you something. I miss the celebrated locker rooms. I miss going to Atlanta for championship game. I miss the Cotton Bowls. I miss the Capital Ones. But let me tell you what I miss most of all. It's a relationship. It's a relationship like I had with Tim Adams, J.R. Ross.
Well, once again, we run into this every week. We would love to carry the rest of this. We've got to take a time out, though. We've got a couple of breaks we've got to get in. That's Houston Nutt talking to the Little Rock Touchdown Club. Appreciate him making time come by here to enjoy visiting with the former Arkansas head coach. The more web-enabled devices you have, the faster internet speed your home needs. Suddenlink has you covered with the fastest speeds in the area. Free access to Suddenlink to go as well. So if you want to take it with you,